Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 18th day of August 2019. We're going to look at what life is supposed to be. Everybody has their opinion as to what life is supposed to be. So we'll take a look at that and maybe clarify a few things. But probably, you know, most people are pretty set in their ways, and they have their ideas and ideals as to how to get through this world. And most people are just going through. They're drifters. They don't really live in this world. They live in the confines of fear and hate and DNA and genetics and biology and chemistry, and they miss the beauty of this whole thing. So maybe I can share a little bit with you. I want to remind you that these radio programs are supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gift, your donations, your kindness. Without your kindness, your donations, your monthly or quarterly donations, we could not exist here at Aspire. And I hope that if you are not a sponsor, that you will help us, because it is very, very important that we stay on the air. There is rarely a voice like this on radio, much less on the internet, much less in your community, I'll bet. So this Aspire radio program serves those of you who hunger and thirst, as I'd like to say, after righteousness, after the truth. And maybe this will alter some things within you. Maybe you found your home, as it were, within yourself through this radio program. Maybe you have found a voice that you can listen to that encourages you to move forward and forward. That's really all I want, is to be able to be that voice. So if you go to the website at aspire.org, and you will see a little button there that says support. If you press on it with your mouse, a menu will come down and it says why support Aspire. That will tell you a great deal about why you should support Aspire and how to do it and what you get for your donation, your monthly or quarterly donation, whatever you want to give. You get a lot of things, but these things don't mean anything to a person who isn't really working on themselves. So I want to caution you on that, and I understand most people aren't. It's why we have such a difficult time with this. It's very, very difficult because, I mean, who cares? You live, you eat, you poop, you make babies, and then you die. And hopefully you won't know what's going on when you do die. So what does it matter? And that's the pedestrian mentality that so many people live in. And I can't do anything about that. But for those of you who have a sense of the bigger picture, I think you'll find this very meaningful. Go take a look, will you? First question comes from Eleanor. Don't know where she lives. Why are some people and their lives easy and some people very hard, like myself? Nothing comes easy for me, Eleanor. Eleanor, there's probably a lot of reasons why. There's probably a whole gamut of things that have been done in your life that you have accepted, ideas, ideals that have nothing to do with the way, the truth, and the light of you, have nothing to do with love. They're probably pretty pragmatic and live in the colossal underbelly of your subconscious mind, which is attached to the collective unconscious. There's lots of causations for life, and a lot of it could be even karma. You know, we all do really silly, unkind things from time to time. In fact, I know most people, the majority of their life is spent in unkindness. They're emotional, they're hard-headed, they're willful, they're basically set in the ideals and ideas that they believe are true, and usually these have to do with political overtones. Do you know, Eleanor, all of the things you've done in the course of your life and your many lives that may have contributed to where you are right now? Probably not. But I'm telling you, a lot of what we go through in the course of our lifetime has to do with all of that. And we just don't want to see it. We don't believe it exists. We think our lives are inconsequential. Oh, I did that, but everybody does that. Well, why do you think you're here if everybody does that? Oh, yeah, that happened over there and I was a part of it, but that didn't count. I just didn't know. Ignorance is no excuse. We have a lot of different things that go on within us that we don't really understand why they happen, but the reason they happen is because we miss. We are so busy living our life in accord with our fears, our anger. We make it very difficult. You could go and look at your genetic nature, your genetic heritage, and you would probably learn a great deal about why things happen to you the way they do, and then you would really understand, wouldn't you? I mean, if you looked at your great-great-grandfather, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, if you looked at the way you emotionally handle your body and the chemistry that runs through your veins, the dopamine, the whole thing, the estrogen, the way your mind is wired and the way you wired it, you could look at everything and see it for what it is. You could see why, you know, some people become alcoholics, why some people become obsessive compulsive, why some people you think are having a better life than you, and why things are hard for you, as you like to say. This reeks of, I'm a victim here. Whatever my life is, it's okay. It is what it is. It doesn't mean I failed. It doesn't mean I succeed. Do you think those who appear to have a better life than you are superior to you? That they knew better, they did better than you did? Are you really going to give your life over to that kind of thing and think that maybe you're just not good enough to have a better life and you're just going to live from the premise of poor me, poor me? I think it's very important that we appreciate the life we have. And if your life is a matter of chop wood, carry water every day, chop wood, carry water every day, then, you know, the old saying, if you have lemons, make lemonade, then start chopping wood and carrying water with a different quality of mind. Be grateful for the wood. Be grateful for the water. Be grateful for the whole experience of your livingness. Don't let your mind compare and analyze everything. Just ignore that part. You can't do anything about it. And if you find yourself obsessively, compulsively honing in on that, then you know there's a form of mental illness going on within you. And you're going to have to change some things. You're going to have to change your direction. Learning how to watch our breath and meditate, just to watch the breath go in and out. And learning how to achieve focus on the gap and the pauses between our breaths, just to have that is a huge, huge accomplishment in the course of a lifetime. So you may not have all the money of, you know, a king or a queen. You may not have the lifestyle of a person who is leisurely going through this world. But I have found that in my lifetime, after all the years, 48 years of being a teacher, that the things that people go through, whether you think they are pleasurable or not, are the consequences of the way they love. Listen to the Buddha. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. I cannot emphasize that enough to you. To see the journey of your life and to understand it was the way you and I received love. It was the way you and I recognized love. It is the way you and I are loved that made the difference between a life that is totally fulfilled in every way, shape, and form, even through the difficulties, and one that was not, one that was just lived for the sake of, well, you know, getting all you can and having a leisurely life. I have a few wealthy friends, Eleanor, and they putz around all day. They don't have much to do, and they create all sorts of illnesses for themselves. They always have some kind of sickness or some kind of little thing here and there that annoys them. They feel, some of them, guilty, you know, about the way they live their life, and they try to do some good things, but they really can't do much because, the idea of spending money or giving money to people or getting their hands dirty is just not their way. They're arrogant. They're unkind. They're prejudiced. They have a lot of prejudice. And they look down at others. And do you think that this casual way of hatred is going to pay off for them one way or another as they go on in this mishigas of craziness? They're going to find their maker, which is themselves. And nobody has a perfect life in this world. I want you to understand that. There is no such thing as a perfect life. You may think there is. You may have one in your mind. You may think another person has it, but you are wrong. This is a world that we have come into for the sake of awakening. And this is also a world we come into for the sake of karma and how to pay the price, as it were, and not create a karma that is ugly for ourselves. But who listens to someone like me? Very few have the heart to do that. So, you know, people don't want to look at themselves. Self-examination is a very difficult thing for the pedestrian mentality, because they are always looking for how they want things to be in accord with how they emotionally live. We miss. Just think about it. Eleanor, I hope this helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Corey. He lives in Arizona. He tells me he's a zony. I have to work, and I work very hard. Am I being punished? Corey, none of us are rewarded, and none of us are punished. Not any one of us. None of us. You're not being rewarded, and you're not being punished. This is the life you and I have designed for ourselves. I am recording this radio program at 3 a.m. in the morning. Am I being punished? At the same time, by the way, I'm doing my laundry. And at the same time, my Cocker Spaniel Autumn is laying here in my chair, sound asleep. Am I being punished or am I being rewarded? Which is it? You can decide how you want to look at your life. It is up to you. And if you look at it purely from the circumstances and the conditions of your earthly life, you can look at it as either a good thing, a bad thing, a right thing, a wrong thing. You can look at it any way you want to look at it and come out the other end and either being grateful for everything that occurs in your life or condemning of everything that may be seemingly happening to you. I work very hard. You work very hard. There are other people that work very hard. But you see, this is the beauty of our life. Our work is love made visible, as Cahil Gibran said. Does others around us appreciate it? Well, in my life, no. Hardly. Very few can understand what I'm doing, even what I'm talking about here. Maybe the same is true with you. That doesn't diminish the love I put into my work. I don't let other people rock my boat or rule my world. I don't. I know what I am doing, and I know that it pertains to a certain quality of love that I feel for you, Corey, even though I've never met you. I feel the state of love within me for you, believe it or not. We're all one in this lifetime, and you can tune in to anything you want to tune into and feel anything you need to feel that would give you courage and the heart to give beyond the human mind, the human ego, the human vanity, the human pride. So my dear Corey, don't be looking around comparing your life with someone else's. If you do that, you will miss. What was it that Desiderata said? There will always be greater and lesser people than ourselves. And that is always true, according to worldly standards. And if you measure your life by them, you become vain and bitter. Vain and bitter. And if you do that, you miss. You miss everything that is meaningful to you. Meaningful in the way of the life you live within yourself. You have to find a meaningful life. You have to find that which sustains love in your life. The only thing worth living for is the presence of love that lives within you. If you understand this presence of love that lives within you, you have a rewarding life. Everything is rewarding. Everything is beautiful. Everything is meaningful. If there is no love for your work, if your work is not love made visible, then all you have is labor. And if you're only laboring, you're not understanding how beautiful this whole experience is and where you fit in the beauty of this experience. So all I can really say to you, Corey, is you have to work hard, you say? Are you being punished? No, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to reach love. This shows only one thing, your sincerity for love, your sincerity for a life lived as love. If you don't have that, which it sounds like to me you don't, then all you have is labor. And that can be very discouraging to the average person. So you got to ask yourself, is this where I leave it? Is this the end of it all for me? Is this all I'm going to be able to do, all I'm capable of doing, is just bitching and moaning about my life because I don't like the way it turned out? And how do you know how you turned your life to go here and go there? Life speaks to us, Corey, in the language we can understand. And sometimes that language is in situations, conditions, and events. And it's trying to get my attention, your attention. If I do not base my life in love, but only in the rhetoric of my rigorous, cruel mind and body, my emotions, I'm going to be slanted here, slanted there, drawn here, drawn there to get the message. I hope you can understand that and even appreciate what I just said. If you can understand that, you can see that the difficulties that you think are difficulties, the hard life that you think you've lived, was the only way to get your attention for the sake of love. This crazy man that's on the radio here, on the internet here, who's talking to you like this, is a voice from the other shore calling you, saying to you, don't make it ugly. Don't make it bad. Don't make it seem hopeless. Follow it. Keep your mind open. Keep away from your emotionality. Seek for that which can't be spoken. Seek the inexplicable. Meditate. Work on yourself a little bit. Be grateful for every moment you have here on earth. Because every moment matters, and everything you do in these moments matters greatly in your life. Just be with it. Corey, that's really all I can say to you. I speak to you in the language of life, and hopefully you can get it. And please forgive me. Namaste. Sometimes I sit in my meditations and I realize what I've put myself through in the course of this lifetime. It had nothing to do with life. It had nothing to do with right and wrong and good and bad. It's just what I needed to put myself through in order to be a pen and to be miserable. And I don't choose misery. I choose love. And this is what we had to do to get to that place of great love. Last question. We're running out of time here. This comes from Jules, and she does not tell me where she lives. I'm afraid of lack. I work hard, yet nothing happens. Am I doomed? You're only doomed by the state of your generosity. If there is no generosity within you, if you're afraid to be generous, kind, compassionate, forgiving, then yes, you're doomed. And this is just going to keep going on and on and on in your life, and nothing's going to change. This is just going to be what it is, a miserable mess. But if you can appreciate your generosity and act upon it, even though your, shall we say, fears of lack start rising up very quickly, then you have a chance at something immensely beautiful in your life. Few people ever do this. It all depends on the courage you have to listen to love and to let love live you. I say this over and over and over and over and over again to people. Let love live you. And so many just don't understand. What do you let live you? Jules, think about it. Fear, hate, anticipation of bad things to happen or that you're unworthy, guilt, shame. What do you live for? What is it that is the causation of your entire life? If you look at it, if you really look at it, if you are deeply sincere, you will see you are the architect of your entire life. And it is only in this architecture that you exist. And everything comes out of this, whether you believe it or not, whether you have a higher opinion of yourself or a lower opinion of yourself, you're only going to get whatever it is that you are and what you have, quote unquote, made of yourself. So it would seem to me that the most important thing you could do is accept your lack. Just accept it as a part of your genetics. Start to see, where did I come to believe that I should live as such? Where did I come to believe that? You'll find maybe in your genetics the answer. Typically, that's where we all find it. But you have to look at the thing that probably is most dear to you, which is your ego, your family, your pride, your vanity, and where you derived ideas and ideals about yourself that made you believe that you should live this way and not that way, that this is wrong and that is right. When you see all these things that you were, so to speak, encouraged to believe in, then you will start to understand why you are the way you are and how things got to where they are, and you will be able to understand the meaning and the significance of letting a lot of this go, because we are typically not authentic. We are typically a collage of all sorts of opinions and fears and half-baked thoughts and emotionalities that only sustain the very worst of ourselves and not the better part. And that, I'm afraid, about sums it up with most people. Jules, I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, that's it. I'm out of here. Another weekend. I hope you have a beautiful one. Thank you for listening. I hope that you will be with us next week. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.